As Ilana mentioned, I'm on a long retreat here and haven't shaved for almost 2 months. So that's why I didn't turn on the camera. I did not want to surprise some of you. But I feel that this is a challenging time for everybody. There is anxiety, and I talk to people quite often who are in distress. And it is important for us to take time to look at ourselves more closely and look at our states of mind, and especially take action so that we can prevent ourselves getting too stressed from what's going on and these hard and difficult realities that we all have to face. Today's topic for the Dhamma talk is called karma and how it relates to daily life. And some of you who have been coming to the temple have studied this. Today I'm going to give a short Dhamma talk, and then you will be able to ask questions, and I would be happy to answer any of your questions. The word karma is a Sanskrit word, and especially Theravada Buddhists use the word kamma, K-A-M-M-A. Kamma is Pali word. Since the Theravada scriptures are written in Pali language, we often use the word kamma. Actually, the word karma is not a word that Buddha first discovered. Especially, even the time before the time of the Buddha, Indian scriptures, we call Vedic philosophy, and they talked about karma. I would like to talk about the value of these teachings, especially for us who are going through these difficult times. In order to understand the relationship or the usefulness, I would like to talk about experience of life in general. And how our experiences are influenced and shaped as our six senses interact with the objective world. And that is what creates our experience of life. All our experiences come from these six senses. We identify mainly in Buddhism six senses. And as we know, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. So these are six senses. In Pali, we call it chakku, sota, ghana, jiha, and kaya. And mano. So these are the six senses. And how it is good to understand how our experiences are shaped. How the sadness rises, or worry, fear, anxiety rises in us. And how our thoughts and feelings and creates this sensation, so pleasant or unpleasant. When we see an object, the eye comes across an object, and optic nerves send a message to the brain, and then we see. If you see a human being in front of you, the moment you look at that person, you recognize, oh, that is my father. But how did your perception rise in you? The eye came in contact with the external object. The message was sent to the brain. And we call chakku vijnana. The perception is created. It allows us to see. That seeing. And then, let's say that you see somebody in front of you, and if your optic nerve is damaged, you will not be able to, you have no perception about that person. But let's say that person speaks, and you recognize the sound of that person. And then we call it sota vijnana. You hear the sound, and the still we call it ear perception or chakku sota vijnana rises. And the when that perception rises, the seeing or hearing itself is called chakku vijnana. Or the sota vijnana. And when you hear, the thoughts get triggered. And the memory allows you to create a reference and identify. And it is a thinking process begins because of sota vijnana or ear consciousness. And you identify the person. And when you identify the person, that first the ear consciousness rises. And again, it is how when a sound touches the eardrum, a message is sent to the brain, and brain processes that message and that seeing. You are hearing, and that hearing is called sota vijnana. And this hearing process, this hearing is then processed in the brain, and the mental activities that get triggered in you, if it is a pleasant image, let's say that now you are hearing the voice of your father who loves you, who cares about you, who you are in love, and suddenly a pleasant sensation rises in you, a series of pleasant emotions or thoughts rise in your mind. And this pleasant sensation, pleasant thoughts are triggering pleasant sensation. So that pleasant sensation, pleasant thoughts give you a good feeling, and you like him. There is you begin to like, or you and let's say that you assume that it was a father, but what you heard was, or let's say that it's a father that you don't like. So some people have parents who they hate very rarely. So let's say that somebody met somebody who really a father who is completely disconnected from the child, from you, and you don't like him. I have met many people like that, and you hate that person, and you hear that voice, and the moment the thoughts trigger unpleasant sensations, and when you hear that, the same thing, the sight, when you see somebody, your perception produce this series, the thoughts, and the thoughts help you to identify. This identify is processed through memory, and then the emotions rise from it. Either a positive emotion or a negative emotion rises from it. And so this, the five or six senses, we call it seeing is perception, and hearing is perception. And for example, in the Buddha says, chakkuñca rūpañca paticca uppajjati chakku viññāna. When the eye come across or come in touch with the object, arises the chakku viññāna, or eye perception. And so the same thing, sota viññāna is the hearing perception, and jhana viññāna, vijjuha viññāna, the taste perception, and mano viññāna, and mental perception, and so on. So it's important to understand how these senses interact with the world, and our interactions, sensual interactions, are shaping every moment of our experience, and what causes a certain certain what causes stress, or what causes pain, what causes anxiety, what causes fear, what causes hatred, what causes anger. And so it is because of these, our perceptions are triggering thoughts, and reference that come from our past is causing an emotion to get triggered. And when you think about an emotion, emotion has to do always with the meaning that you give it to the image. And because if you give a positive meaning that comes from a pleasant experiences, then that image becomes pleasant. And if you give a negative meaning, that term comes a negative experience of the past, it becomes painful. That meaning can bring you pain or discomfort, anger, fear, hatred, bitterness. sadness. The many things can get triggered, right? So a reaction to this image, that is identity, then reaction is what what is producing fear, desire, anger, worry, hate. So all our suffering is produced by such emotions or emotional turmoil that occurs because of the negative feelings that you give, negative meaning that you give, the pain and the positive meaning that you give, pleasure or pain. So expression of the emotion and the emotional energy is what we call karma, because the for example, every perception is connected to a certain level of anxiety or emotional excitement, because every picture you like or you dislike, and you desire it or you hate it. So if it's a pleasant image, you desire it, but the desire still is anxiety producing excitement, and it is an emotional excitement, but it is also painful when you think about when you begin deeper into a discussion of it, you begin to see that how desire is discomfort, and the desire is discomfort because desire is an emotional excitement that comes from it. So you are this discomfort usually is addressed by fulfilling the desire, but if you don't fulfill the desire, you are living pain of not getting what you desire, and you live in unhappiness of not getting what you desire, and usually also, let's say that a desire is an emotion and you get what you want, and when you get what you want, you create a set of emotions connected to what you have acquired and what you have made yours, and now you have you found the most beautiful person and you fell in love, and now you're attached. Now we live in fear if somebody is going to fall in love with that person, whether that person is going to leave you, whether that's going to create any conflict, and whether that person is going to love me enough, this and this. So the anxiety does not get resolved. The issue of anxiety and stress does not get resolved because you acquired what you desire, but it creates an environment for a set of other desires to rise, and also the emotions, the other emotions. So this emotional, when you live in that emotional turmoil, you live in pain with somebody. To have a bad relationship with somebody is to live in an emotional turmoil with somebody. And because the emotions, especially in negative emotional turmoil, that you live in, and the thoughts that flow from emotions, emotional excitement, as you say, is karma. And when Buddha described thoughts that flow from emotional excitement, there are two kinds. We call kusala karma and akusala karma. And the kusala karma is also translated as wholesome thoughts. And akusala karma is unwholesome thoughts. Let's use the word negative thoughts or positive thoughts. Negative thoughts, unwholesome thoughts. Positive thoughts, wholesome thoughts. Now, the thoughts itself, if it is a calm thought that has no emotional excitement, and you are at peace with it, and there is no conflict, The conflict arises when only when an emotional excitement trigger anxiety. And that is when the discomfort arises. So if you are unhappy with a politician and you are emotionally connected to that person, except negative emotional connection, and the thoughts of any event, any activity that person sees is interpreted negatively, or you refuse to accept anything positive about that person, because after some time of your emotional entanglement, you lose the ability to see good because you are stuck in a negative karmic state and a negative karmic bond with that person. And that negative karmic bond is really producing suffering. And what is interesting is that these karmic traps we create for ourselves, these karmic traps, you know, there are so many karmic traps that we are creating for ourselves. Because if you think our thoughts and emotions and their consequences together as karma, you know, because as you said, we perceive things, our perceptions, and trigger identity and recognition, and the recognition and the interpretation that comes with the memory, and then the emotion that get excited, and the emotional excitement that you experience. And this is what is forming an experience, that particular relationship with that person. But when especially a negative emotional bond become stagnant and you have no power anymore to control, because the karma, although we say, well, it's a mental state, it's our thoughts and their consequences, now it has become a physical state. Physical state, now neurologically, neural wiring has occurred, and you have hateful connection linked to that wiring. Because of that person, you will see through a negative image. And your brain causes a situation where you can constantly see that person with a negative image, and which is bringing constant discomfort to you, which causes you unhappiness constantly. And usually, instead of looking at ourselves and seeing that we need to really, understand that emotional excitements that are coming from painful memory, and how you have lost control of this situation. But when once you see that, you will be able to bring more attention, and you will be able to change the image in your mind, and you would begin to see that the karmic connection has to do with your mental behavior and mental activity, and the pain has to do with the consequences of that mental behavior and that mental activity. And the pleasure has to do with the consequences that has to do with that mental image, that mental activity. When once you understand that, and we call it master your mind, and then you can master your life. Because these karmic things that, as I said, they are instant karma. We call it ditta dhamma vedaniya karma in Pali. Instant karma, which is, you are thinking a negative thought flows. As I said, there are, you know, sense objects, right? We talk about mental objects as well. So the mind can produce an image of somebody that you don't like. What happens in that moment? The emotion get triggered. And what happens when the emotion get triggered? You are in discomfort. You are in pain. You are unhappy. So you could be away from everybody, but if your mind is completely full of negativity, You can isolate yourself in the furthest place in on planet, and you could live in bitterness, anger, fear, hatred, jealousy. And those things don't move away by themselves. Because you physically move to a place, your mental conditions don't disappear immediately. And that's why certain people who are so distressed emotionally isolate themselves and they become even worse. But when you isolate yourself with proper guidelines and techniques to deal with your own mental state and having tools to work with yourself, and then you will be able to overcome them. And otherwise, you get nothing. You get more miserable even. And there are certain people who go, you know, say, I'm going to a monastery and this and that. And sometimes they come to the temple and they are mad with the animals or mad with the sounds of the birds. So they are unhappy about this condition or that condition. And so they're beginning to really feel frustrated about so many things because it's quite challenging to live in an environment where there are only few comforts and constant presence of challenges due to the environment that you live in. So I think kusala karma, the Buddha says in the beginning what our effort should be to cultivate wholesome thoughts or wholesome feelings, and the akusala karma, because the wholesome things, wholesome thoughts we cultivate cause us to attract wholesome conditions. It is very, very simple. And if you hate somebody, the deeper the hatred towards that person, harder it becomes for you to leave that person. If you leave somebody who you hate, you have to love that person, which is exactly opposite that you need to do. But people don't understand that. Because actually the hatred, the 10% hatred is the 10% strong bond. In the same way, 10% love is a 10% strong bond, except it is one negative and one positive. So if you're negatively bonded to somebody, it is so hard to leave that person. But the thing is this, when you leave a person, or a person leaves you because of a negative bond, you have to gracefully release it. If you start to sit and mourn and feel sad and worry and be angry about it and hate that person, you are actually creating negative cycle of emotions and thoughts and feelings that can affect your personality, affect your mind, affect what you're going to attract next. So no matter how much you attach to somebody, when that person leaves, you have to bring grace, understanding, and kindness and release it gracefully. Release it willingly. Release him or her willingly. Because when you release anybody willingly, your path is open for the next event in life. But if you are stuck in the past, if you are still interested in controlling the past because of your disappointments and the negative karmic bond, you're going to torture yourself and go even to your depression. And there are so many people who are so miserable because of relationship breakups, because they don't handle it well, they don't accept the reality, they are not able to bring grace because they consider it as a threat personally. And they refuse to accept the reality and they are unwilling to accept the reality. And because of that, they are constantly in conflict with certain reality. So this wholesome karma and unwholesome karma, that in sabba papasa akaranam kusalasa upasampada, I think this is what Buddha also teaches us, that the cultivate wholesome conditions, wholesome thoughts. But what is also interesting, in the beginning level, we are talking about positive emotions and negative emotions, and our emotional states are always there because the emotions get triggered through every time or through constantly through our sense experiences, and we cannot stop it. The some emotions are so calm, and you don't know that it is a it is there is no high velocity or high strong emotional turmoil in it. Without that, somebody could be really calm and boiling inside, and the somebody could look calm, and but it doesn't mean that the emotional excitement hasn't happened. It is constantly happening. Sometimes we don't even notice it. Even the pleasant feelings that rise is a result of an emotional excitement. So what Buddha recommend is that, first of all, we need to see that this Dittadhamma Vediniya Karma, or the instant effect of our thoughts and the emotions, and it doesn't stop there. It spread beyond that moment. If I have a 2 minutes of deep anger towards you, it doesn't stop there, because that deep anger can get settled in my mind, and that can produce residue that will influence my next meeting with you, and it will influence my image of you, and because of that, I think I'm going to have a more and more difficult time with you. So the difficulty that you experience with somebody, so it's a difficult relationship, and it has always a lot to do with your image. Actual physical conditions are there. Some people don't behave in the way that we should respectfully behave towards each other. So anyway, I think that I have taken quite a lot of extra time I didn't realize, Ilana. But let me just close this by telling that there are three kinds of karma. We call it kaya karma, vachi karma, and mano karma. Our thoughts and emotions and their consequences are shaping our experience in each moment. Vachi karma, our words and their consequences, and how constantly influencing us and shaping us. So karma is not something that comes from the past and constantly like a fate and controlling the present moment and destroying the future or whatever, but you have it in your control. And you would be able to make conscious choices, positive choices, wise choices constantly, lead your thoughts, lead your words, lead your actions from a place of wisdom. You will see that you are going to attract more good things. You're going to be free from suffering. You're going to be bringing joy to others. And you're going to have amazing karmic relationships, positive karmic relationships with people. And karmic relationship, your mental state, and your how your words, sometimes the kindest words can come out of your mouth and somebody can be touched by it, and you will have an amazing relationship with that person after that. And you can even diffuse some negativities that might have, been boiling because of some unpleasant events in the past. So that can penetrate. So the same thing about physical actions, our bodily actions, and you have to present, so gentle touch and kind actions and more thoughtful actions, you will be able to really do that. So especially in these difficult times, that is why you have to see there is so much suffering out there in the world, that your perception and the anxiety that get triggered has to do with the images that you have in your mind. So, you can know the reality, but at the same time, you can control the mind in a way that it will not add a burden to your life. This, what is going on in the world will not add more weight into your mind, and you will be able to manage them and go through all this, allow these activities, events to continue in the world. And also when you are more peaceful, and if you cultivate, for example, sati, and calm the mind, you will be able to overcome the fears. Even if everybody starts to die and your life is challenged, you really need to calm your mind. And calming the mind, and also we said that we need to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya. That is the solution from Buddha to overcome the suffering that is related to our negative karmic bonds or unwholesome karmic relationships. And so anyway, I wanted to talk today karma and how it relates to daily life. Of course, there are other aspects of karma. We can talk about past life karma or the past karma, or and how different aspects of karma is affecting us and influencing our personal experiences and shaping the quality of all our experiences. I wish you all well, and I hope that you will be more mindful and thoughtful, and to say that your suffering is always born in your mind. Your discomfort can be removed by correcting the mind, guiding the mind to peace. Your wounds can be healed by simply recognizing the negative emotional traps, taking action to remove them, making choices to release, not to hold on to them, making a choice not to give any meaning to past, and forgive. Anyway, may you all be well and happy. And it is, I appreciate again Ilana, who is our lay teacher at the Nairobi Buddhist Temple. I always appreciate, Ilana, your efforts and your energy and your enthusiasm. And please continue your work, try your best, since we are all far apart and the temple is closed. We will continue to provide spiritual guidelines, guidance, or inspirational thoughts or meditations to calm the mind from time to time. And we, I hope that all of you will pay close attention to yourself and respect your life and make sure that ego remains in control and work diligently to reduce your selfish thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and live in peace, live in grace, live in harmony. And we have the power to do it. So may you be well and happy. And let me again end this session with a blessing. And after that, maybe I might have a time to take one or two questions. Let me just to say a blessing first. May you all be inspired by Dhamma. May you all have the courage and intention to change your life in positive ways, so that you can be a blessing to yourself and blessing to the others who are around you. Abhivadana silisa nichang buddha pachayino chattaru dhamma vadhanti ayuvanno sukhang balam ayurarogya sampatti sagga sampatti mevacha atho nibbana sampatti minate samichetu sukhi hotu ayubhovan. Take away, Ilana.
Okay, thank you so much, Bantaji. We also really appreciate you taking your time and coming out of your personal retreat to share your wisdom with us. So So I think we can just take about two or three questions before we wrap up the call. So I've changed the settings so you can all unmute yourself if you'd like to ask a question. You can do that just by clicking on the button in the bottom left corner of your screen if you do have a question. Or you can as well use the chat feature. So maybe you could just think if you have anything that came to mind and feel free to ask.
Hi, my name is Amy.
Yes, Amy.
I have one question with regard to wholesome thoughts and equanimity.
Yes.
So, for instance, if you have unwholesome thoughts, thoughts just pop up. Is it advisable to go towards equanimity where you really, you're not indifferent, but you don't have a stand towards them? Or is it advisable to go towards actually wholesome thoughts? Because now you're moving towards pleasantness. So what do you do? Go towards wholesome thoughts or go back to present moment? What's advisable?
I think, first of all, it is so important to calmly observe your unwholesome thoughts. Because your unwholesome thoughts, don't try to change them, don't try to repress them. And these are my thoughts. This is how I am feeling now. These are the negative thoughts that are in my mind. Then you ask, why are these thoughts coming? Where are these thoughts coming from? And what trigger these thoughts? And if you can find out a little bit more, you are willing to look at it more closely so that you will be able to make a choice. And maybe there is a hurt in you that is triggering these thoughts. And maybe a disappointment, maybe another frustration about something. So it is important for you to see unwholesome thoughts. You can we call it reflect wisely on them. Pachavekati, we call it. And we reflect on them, on your thoughts, and to see whether make some decisions. So when you then what you see can help you to make a decision. I need to talk to this person. I need to write about this and release it. I need to really forgive this person so that I can free my mind from this. So action is based on the awareness that comes from reflection on the thoughts you're experiencing. That is more realistic, because if you keep doing that, you're going to be better and better and better in recognizing your mental states and constantly working with them to release them or to move beyond them. And they can't interfere. They cannot, interfere with your happiness.
Okay, thank you.
And sometimes it is important, if you are stuck with an emotion, a strong emotional bond with somebody, and no, the mind doesn't allow you to think positively. Mind doesn't allow you to think more realistically. Mind doesn't allow. Mind wants always, you want that to be in that emotion. And you want that emotion controls your mind. In that case, I think it is important for you to use an affirmation, for example. Affirmation to convince yourself, to get yourself into a clear thinking, and the affirmation allows I'm willingly, consciously accept my experience. I'm at peace with this person. Something like this. So you have to really use an affirmation. That affirmation becomes clearer and stronger. The mechanical emotion emotional triggers become weak. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm seeing a question from Samson. He was asking, does karma have a role to play with the current world condition?
Well, when we talk about karma, we talk about cause and effect, and we speak about different aspects. For example, when the life experience was described by the Buddha, we call niyamas, certain conditions, that environmental conditions, genetic conditions, social conditions, and then comes to karma. It's called Urtu Niyama, Bija Niyama, Dhamma Niyama, Karma Niyama, and so on. So if it is cause and effect, the way it works in the physical world, physical universe, I think definitely it has to do with the greed, hatred, and delusion, which means that maybe power-hungry countries, just for the sake of maintaining power, do not think about well-being of humanity, and they are getting involved with this kind of amazing behaviors that either by not disclosing the truth or attacking the others or trying to maintain the power and fear of economic close down or wanting the world to be getting destroyed to save themselves. We don't know. So there is definitely karma of greed, hatred, and delusion is in action in what's going on in the world.
So maybe we can take one last question.
All right, so we just end the session today, Ilana, and wish you well and many blessings to all of you. Please stay calm, stay safe, and try to create a wholesome environment at your home. But you can play an important role in changing the energy in the atmosphere at your house by bringing in wholesome thoughts, by challenging yourself to forgive and accept, by challenging yourself to be more kind and patient. Because as you change, you will notice that the others will be influenced. So please do not undermine your ability to make a difference in the world by simply making a difference in the lives of those who are around you now. Maybe constantly some of you who are homebound and who are in quarantine or lockdown. And so take it as an opportunity to learn about one another and be more thoughtful, reflect on weaknesses, and have productive, constructive dialogues about the issues and problems. Okay, take care, everybody, and many blessings.